Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. I trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping, watching, sustaining your life. We carry on with our study in the book of Colossians. And we're in Colossians chapter 1. And today we'll look at this aspect of suffering. And when we look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 24, Paul speaks about how he rejoices. And let's just read. The Bible says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh or in my body what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, and has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Now, when you think about it, when Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. You see, Paul is writing this letter when he is in prison. Remember, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, these are prison epistles. These are letters that Paul writes. And when he is in prison, he's writing to the churches. He's encouraging them, he's admonishing them, he's correcting them, rebuking them where they are wrong. But then he now starts to give a different perspective that he has towards the suffering that he has. And if you think about it, in Philippians, he says that these chains, my chains, serve for the furtherance of the gospel. Initially, some people were ashamed of the chains, but he has understood that these chains have a purpose. They are for the furtherance of the gospel. And you can see here, he now tells us that, look here, I now rejoice. That he is actually finding joy in the sufferings that he's going through, because he knows that he's not suffering for himself, but he's suffering for the body of Christ. And that's why he says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. You see, the church of today does not really appreciate the role of suffering. And you'd find many that look at what God is doing, what God is increasing, how God will improve, and you know, benefit me. Many people are actually users of God. It's about what they will get from God, the blessings, the increase, you know, the going to new levels. And well, all that is good. Because faith actually has two sides. There's the faith that receives, but there's also the faith that lets go, the faith that gives for the sake of the gospel. If you look at all the heroes of faith, they are those that by faith they received kingdoms, you know, they conquered kingdoms, they killed lions, they received back from the dead. But then there are also those by faith who refused and chose to die that they might gain a better resurrection. So there is that faith that receives from God, is also that faith that lets go or loses for God. And Paul is trying to show this side of faith that rejoices in suffering as long as it is suffering unto God. And he says that what is lacking in my body in the afflictions of Christ. Now, he's not saying that the suffering of Christ was not completed, because we know clearly in Scripture, when Jesus said it is finished, he means that his sufferings were ended. That means the seven If you think about it, the seven places that he had to shed his blood was completed. The pain was completed. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. You know, by his stripes we were made well. We were healed. Everything, he was nailed to the cross. He was pierced on the side. He fulfilled the entire law. He was a sacrificial lamb. He was that lamb that was slain outside the city gates, that carried our shame, that carried our sin. God did all that. He made him sin that knew no sin to be the righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God did all that to make us new creations in him for those of us who believe. So it does not mean that the sufferings of Christ are incomplete, but rather there is a suffering that is apportioned to Paul. And you can think about it when he is called. And one of the discussions that the Holy Spirit has with Ananias is, Ananias is told, go and anoint the servant, open his eyes and preach to him the gospel. And Ananias asks, but is this not man the one who has been sent, who has come with the orders from the high priest to arrest every believer? Why should I go to him? And the Holy Spirit says, go, this man is my chosen vessel to carry the gospel to kings, to the children of Israel, to kings, you know, and to the Gentiles. And I will show him the things that he must suffer for the sake of my name. So immediately or originally from the call of God to Paul, there was already a level or a requisite portion of suffering that was allocated to him. Now, James speaks about suffering. He says that if we suffer for the sake of the gospel, then it is something commendable. In fact, he says, count it pure joy whenever you face sufferings of many kinds, because you know that the suffering of your faith builds perseverance. The testing of your faith builds perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So there's already an apportion of suffering that is accorded for the saints. However, we are cautioned not to suffer as wrongdoers, not to suffer as criminals. I mean, if you suffer because you have done wrong, then you are rightly condemned, you are rightly judged. Because, yes, you stole somewhere and you got caught and you're beaten up or you're thrown in jail. Well, that is right, because that is the justice system of the world, of God. I mean, he is clear about, you know, justice, rightness, and wrongness. But you see, if you suffer for the sake of the gospel, you lose your job, you are arrested in prison. You can think of Joseph. He is falsely accused, but he says, I will not sin against my God. He's thrown into prison, and he stays in prison just for something he did not do, but because he chose the path of righteousness. I mean, if he had accepted to sleep with Potiphar's wife, he would have stayed, you know, in the palace. He would have stayed in that place of honor. He would have been the most favored, you know, most favored of the servants. But you see, it was not right. And so he chose to suffer. When you think about Moses, the Bible says that Moses esteemed the sufferings of Christ of greater worth than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin in Egypt. He chose the way of suffering. So there is a suffering that is chosen by the saints, because this is not for us. In fact, Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. So there is an allocation of suffering that comes in the sake of the gospel. And this is because we know whenever we are bringing the gospel, it is actually a declaration of war. In fact, I was listening to a message that was saying that when we say, thy kingdom come, it is actually a declaration of war, because the kingdom of God does not come to a vacuum. There is already a devil that is already occupying, and indeed there has to be a battle of the kingdoms, where in the spiritual warfare you will have to wage for war against the forces of darkness, so that you can take hold of those that are captives, to take hold of the prey from the terrible. You know, and when Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means that there are gates that will stand to resist the kingdom of God. There are gates that stand, there are forces of darkness, there are territorial spirits that will want to hinder or to resist. But you see, when we stand firm, when we stake our ground, when we stand firm with the whole armor of God, then we are able to fight. We are able to conquer. We are able to make men free, because the Bible says they shall know the truth and the truth shall make them free. So in essence, what we do is that we bring them to that place of knowledge. We bring them to that place of understanding that they can be delivered, they can be set free. Now, in that process of delivering men, then we encounter resistance. We encounter challenges. There are certain sufferings that come as a result of that. And you can think about Paul. He understood that he has an allocation of suffering for the sake of the gospel. And he knows, he says that, I am filled up in my flesh. You know, I continue to do. In fact, he says that when Prophet Agabus comes and ties he takes his belt and ties his own hands and feet and says the owner of this belt, the Holy Spirit says that he's going to be tied hand and foot in Jerusalem. And people persuade him, don't go, don't go. And he says, why do you break my heart? Don't you know that I am eager even more not only to suffer but also to die for this gospel? In fact, he says that the Holy Spirit has made it clear to me that in every city, persecutions and trials await me. So persecutions and sufferings, they await him. So he is already well aware that God has apportioned that as an apostle, he's going to be breaking new grounds, he's going to be fighting wild beasts, he's going to be going through various troubles. He has been in the sea, he has been shipwrecked, he has been 14 days without food, without water. And you see, they know what that means, to suffer for the sake of Christ. But you see, the modern believer does not want to hear that. They want to hear only that good, that things are good. And yes, when the things go wrong, then there is no answer. And many lose their faith. They consider that God is not good. But you see, God is good. Even in pain, God is good. Even in sufferings, God is good. Why is God good? Because in those sufferings is where we experience the comfort of God. You can think about it when he's writing to the Corinthian churches. He tells them that, you know, I want to tell you what great trials we endured when we were in Ephesus. In fact, he says that we were tempted even to the close to the point of death. And he says that, but in that point of tempting and in that point of testation, the comfort of God overflowed to us. In fact, they even despaired of life. But you see, God comforted them in a way that they too can be able to comfort others. You can never know the Holy Spirit or God as a comforter if you don't need comfort. In fact, he says, it is only the sick that need a healer. He did not come for the healthy. So, whenever we go through trials and temptations of various kinds, it's always an opportunity to experience the comfort of God. Because in those moments is when you will feel the warm embrace of a father. You'll feel the loving gaze of a father, of a parent, of one that loves you. And by this same comfort that you have received, the comfort of the scriptures, the comfort of the love of God, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Son of God, then by this comfort you are able to comfort others who are going through the same sufferings. And you see, these sufferings are not just unique to you. Just like every believer is going through sufferings in the world, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual, it might be mental, it might be physical. But any true believer suffers on their inside, especially when they see the suffering, the causes of evil all around them. Everything that has resulted from evil leads to suffering. It leads to pain. But God always wants to bring relief to his own children. He always wants to alleviate the suffering. You know, whenever he will meet someone that was sick, the Lord Jesus will have compassion on them. And this compassion on them will ensure that they are healed, they receive their deliverance. You see, the woman, the widow who had only one son who was dead and carrying the body. And when Jesus saw that, he was moved with compassion. And he touched the body and the boy got up. You see, it is only the heart of God. When you understand the heart of God, then you will know that God loves you even in the midst of pain. God loves you. In fact, pain or discipline is an expression of the love of God. Paul continues to fill up in his flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. You can think about it, Philippians 3, 9, 10. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to enjoy. I want to join in the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. There is a certain fellowship that we experience in the sufferings that we undergo through for Christ. Church of God, let us know that there is a fellowship. There is a koinonia. There is a participation that we encounter, that we are partakers too of the same suffering that the apostles went through, that the disciples went through, that even Jesus himself went through on the cross. And yet he rejoiced. In fact, he set his eyes on the finished price, he said. And that is why we too are called to set our eyes on the price despite what we are going through. I don't trivialize what it is that you're facing. In fact, many times pain and suffering has a way of breaking even the hardest of believers. But if we look unto God, if we see the purposes unto which the sufferings might be on our way, then we can learn to glorify God. We can learn to return the glory to him. We can learn to thank him. There are things that we encounter about the Lord only when we submit to him. There is a comfort that comes to those that suffer and mourn in Zion for the sake of the gospel. I pray that God's love will overflow to you. Let your attitude be not one of complaining. Let your attitude be not one of grumbling. But let your attitude be like Paul. I rejoice. And I love how he says, now, from now onwards, I bear the marks of Christ in my body. I bear the scars. Let no one trouble me. He got to a point where he said, I have finished my race. I have won, fought the good fight. I have won my prize. And now what awaits me is what Christ has prepared for me in glory. Yes, suffering is there, but it is for a moment. He says, our light and momentary afflictions are weighing for us a far greater glory. Whatever you're going through is just a stepping stone into the greater glory that Christ has prepared for you. Our light, they're light and they're momentary. They're just for a moment. Be encouraged, child of God. Be encouraged by the words of Christ that he loves you. He's never forsaken you. And he's with you each and every moment of your life. Let us take a moment to pray and give thanks to God. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your scriptures. I thank you for the encouragement that comes from you, that it doesn't matter what we are facing. It doesn't matter what afflictions that we face for the sake of the body. We know that you suffer too with us. You suffered on the cross, and there is no pain, no suffering that we can go through that is even beyond what you went through. But you tell us to be joyful. You encourage us to look unto you. You encourage us to wait on you. I pray for my brother, my sister who's going through different kinds of sufferings in one way or another. It might be rejection, it might be persecution, it might be pain, it might be sickness. But you are a God that is in charge. You are a God that comforts. You are a God that strengthens. You are a God that heals. You are a God that provides relief. And I pray that you send forth your word, you send forth your comfort, that your Holy Spirit bring forth that comfort that your children need this morning, that they need from you. encourage, strengthen, and be with them. May your hand of power, may your hand of protection, may your hand of favor be upon each and every one of us. May we look unto you. You are faithful, you are holy, and there is no one else like you, God. We bless your name and we give you glory. Blessed Redeemer, we worship and adore you. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.